Marilyn, come here and read the 23rd Psalm with me. I'm going to read from a strange translation, and so that you'll get the drift of it. I don't know if you can read mine right there. You read a verse, I'll read a verse, okay?
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want.
God, my shepherd, I don't need a thing.
I love that one. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters.
You have bedded me down in lush meadows. You find me quiet pools to drink from.
Ooh. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake.
True to your word, you let me catch my breath and send me in the right direction. I love that.
Ooh, yay. Yay, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me.
Even when the way goes through Death Valley, I am not afraid. When you walk at my side, your trusty shepherd's crook makes me feel secure.
Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over.
You serve me a six-course dinner right in the front of my enemies. You revive my drooping head. My cup brims with blessing.
Oh. Ooh, that's a good one. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Your beauty and love chase after me every day of my life. I'm back home in the house of the God for the rest of my life.
We all need a copy.
Isn't that nice? That's the Message Bible. That's the Message translation. Now, I also like the Ronald Knox, which you can't have a Ronald Knox because they're no longer in print. But the Ronald Knox says, Lord is my shepherd, how can I lack anything? Don't you love that? The Lord is my shepherd, how can I lack anything? He gives me a resting place where there is green pasture, leads me out to the cool water's brink, refreshed and content. As in honor pledged, by sure path he leads me. Dark be the valley about my path, hurt I fear none. While he is with me, thy rod, thy crook are my comfort. Envious my foes watch while thou dost spread a banquet for me. Richly thou dost anoint my head with oil. Well filled my cup. All my life thy loving favor pursues me. Through the long years, the Lord's house shall be my dwelling place. Let's talk about the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That's the King James. Now, if I ask you, who is your beautician? You'd say, what would you say? If I ask you, who did your nails? We see a lot of people doing their own nails. I understand that. If I ask you, who was your doctor? If I ask you, who was your mother? If I ask you, who was your daughter? You'd know those answers. See, and that's the heart of the 23rd Psalm. What the shepherd is saying is, who is your shepherd? Who is your shepherd? Who's your doctor? Who's your daughter? Who's your mother? Who's your beautician? Who's your shepherd? Who is your shepherd? And here's the response of the shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. And then he gives you the summary of the whole psalm. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I have everything I need. Now turn to John chapter 10. If you want to keep your marker in the 23rd Psalm, we're likely to be back there, but sometimes not either. Sometimes what we can quote, we don't turn back to. John 10. The Lord is my shepherd. Who is your shepherd? The Lord. Who is your perdition? Shh. You see it. The Lord. The Lord, the Lord, the Lord. Shh. Did you get that? Did you get that? My, you ought to be having a Holy Ghost attack. You're much too calm for me. Who's your shepherd? Who is your shepherd? Who's your beautician? Virginia's Virginia's beautician. I understand that too. Look at John 10. 14. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. I am the good shepherd. Look at verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Sheep are a very dependent animal. I've never raised sheep. I've been reading about sheep again. Read years ago, been rereading, stirring myself up again, because when you understand how to raise sheep, how to shepherd sheep, this psalm is going to open up to you like a rose in bloom. It says, the Lord is my shepherd. And Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. Now, why would he say I am the good shepherd unless there are going to be some poor, insufficient shepherds out there? And you look through the world of religion, there are a lot of shepherds who can't shepherd, don't shepherd, won't shepherd, who are full of mistruth, who mislead you, and who can't help you. But he said, I am the good shepherd. It's very important that you know whose pasture that you're in. Years ago, a gentleman spoke, gave his testimony, and had masses of tapes. Well, in his testimony, there was a thread of error. I'm very sensitive to that. You better be careful what you're listening to. And afterward, he put all his tapes on sale. They were tapes in those days. It was a very nice sale, a very generous offer on his part. But the thing that disturbed me was the number of people who were buying them and who were listening to them and who were placing in their spirit the mistruth that he taught. Oh, it distressed me. You better know the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. And follow those people who pasture you in truth. It's very important. Now, you have the Holy Spirit within you, and he's your guide into truth. That's what the scripture says. So as long as you have the Holy Ghost, you're not going to be misled. It pays to listen to the Spirit, not to listen to your neighbor, your friend, your cousin, or even listen what's in the airway. Sometimes what everybody's reading, everybody's doing is not good for your heart. So you need to know the difference, and that's just the extra. That won't cost you anything. And it says, I am the good shepherd. That means there are some poor shepherds out there. And you need to know what pasture and what shepherd and what household you belong to and stay there. Look at verse 12. Here's a poor shepherd. He that is an hireling, not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches them and scatters the sheep. Poor shepherd. Poor shepherd. Not doing the job. On our truck across from Lakeland to Auburndale, often we run across a small farm. The animals look so pathetic. I have never seen animals look as poor as they do. And more than once I said to Wayne, you know, somebody ought to report that. I mean, driving by the road, it's quite obvious that they're abused, that they're neglected. I'm very sensitive to animals. And I just was stressed out. And I made inquiries and found out that that is the farm to which the county sends all the abused animals when they pick them up. That's why they look so bad. And some of them they can rescue, and some of them, of course, have been abused too long. And that's why they're skinny, and that's why they're diseased. Now, a poor shepherd, a poor owner, doesn't really care. I read a testimony of a lady that raised poodles. And she sold poodle puppies. And one day she got a call from somebody said, I'm the neighbor of Mr. So-and-so you sold a poodle to. And he placed his puppy in the trash can, put the lid on it, hoping that the garbage men would pick it up without noticing. And she said, I think you need to check on it. So she went by. And she went by as, see, you're a Christian. You're generous. You're God's kid. And she went by with the full price that he had paid her. Now, you and I say that wasn't necessary. She thought it was. And she said, I've come to pick up the puppy. He said, oh, no, we love the puppy. She said, I know what you did to the puppy. And here's your money, and you give me the puppy. She wasn't willing to have the puppy abused. The new owner didn't care. You know, puppies become a fad. If you want a nice puppy, you wait until about February and go to what we used to call the pound, the, what's it called now? And pick you up one, because by then all the puppies purchased at December have landed in the pound. And they will tell you that. People have delusions of grandeur. Going to have a wonderful dog or cat. And then by February or March, they're finished. See, the Lord is my shepherd, and the Lord is a good shepherd. He's a good shepherd. He's not going to neglect you. He's not going to abuse you. Religion says God will get you. I grew up thinking God would get me. I was relieved when I found out he had just wanted to help me. that he wanted to guide me into truth, that he wanted to lead me to green pastures and to still waters. It's a wonderful thing to know that God is a good God. It says he's not tempted with evil, neither tempts he any man with evil. God is not evil. He doesn't bring evil to your household. He's a good shepherd. Now, if you are actually a shepherd of the sheep, there are good shepherds and poor shepherds. And this is so apropos to what I read about sheep, because a poor shepherd doesn't pay any attention to the sheep. Sheep are high maintenance. They're the highest maintenance of any four-footed beast. They are dumb. And I'm sorry about that. God said, all we like sheep have gone astray. It wasn't my analogy. It was heaven's. When they roll over, they can't get up. That's why when the shepherd counts, there's only 99, they should be 100. He knows the one is not going to wander in. He's probably tripped in a hole. And can't get up, he goes and finds him. Now, when the shepherd drapes the sheep around his neck, he's massaging the feet and the legs so that when he puts that sheep down that he's just rescued, the circulation will be back in the feet and he'll be able to walk. It's a very delicate, very intricate process, and it requires 24-hour care. This shepherd said he saved his money for years and bought 30 sheep. And during one night, he heard some noise, but he didn't get up. And the next morning, he found 9 sheep dead in the pasture. And sometimes they will run themselves to death. Some animal comes through, and they run themselves to death. A sheep that runs very far will instantly abort its lamb. It'll just miscarry on the spot. They're very delicate, very high maintenance. Does that sound like anybody you know? Oh, but listen. In the pasture is the good shepherd. The good shepherd. One who's paying close attention. We read the psalm says he knows when you stand up, when you sit down. He knows your thoughts before you said it. He saw you in your mother's womb before you were born. God's paying close attention. He's watching. And a shepherd's on duty 24 hours a day to watch. He said he slept from then on with one eye open and his gun by his bed. And anytime he heard a noise, he would rush out to the pasture to see what was happening. And he said just his very presence brought peace across the pasture. And we have the presence of God within us. And we have the presence of the Holy Ghost. Then we have peace beyond understanding. And that's God's will. That's his plan. That each of us should rest in peace. Each of us should rest totally dependent upon him. Not letting circumstances jar us or upset us. But knowing that the shepherd is here. The shepherd is on duty. Now he said the sheep across the pasture from him were very poorly maintained. And the pasture was brown. It was basically dirt. And the sheep were foraging for food among the dirt because the shepherd was never there and the shepherd didn't maintain the pasture. Now, sheep grow best in arid countries where there isn't any pasture. And where David was shepherding the sheep, he wasn't in a land of green pasture. He was in a desert country. And so lush pastures have to be maintained, planted, selected, irrigated, and carefully maintained. And that's the job of the shepherd, is to keep the pasture and the blooms and the salt licks that's necessary for the sheep there so the sheep can grow. A sheep that's restless will lose weight rapidly and will be diseased and strife-ridden. When the psalmist said, he maketh me to lie down, sheep do not lie down. That's not something they would naturally do. They're shifty. They move. They're restless. Now here's the four, I picked it up from the book on sheep, I thought was worthy of our attention today. The four things that causes the sheep to stand on their feet, to refuse to lie down. When you said, I am the good shepherd, he makes me to lie down in green pastures, you have a sheep that are perfectly content. They will not lie down unless every problem is solved. And here's the four basic problems. One is hunger. If they have to keep looking for food, they won't lie down. The longer they look for food, the more they stay on their feet, the more restless they are, the more weight they lose. Sheep eat best early in the morning when the dew is still on the grass, and then to lie down the rest of the day until the sun goes down and there's more dew on the grass, and that keeps them very healthy. And if sheep are healthy, a lamb will gain about a pound a day, and in 100 pounds be up to what would be good selling weight or good weight for breeding would be 100 pounds. And a shepherd's very cautious and very conscientious that when a sheep is not gaining a pound a day, something is wrong with the salt lick, with the pasture, and it's often with diseases. Sheep are very disease-ridden, and they're not selective. It says he leads me beside still waters. They will not drink if the water's moving. But any old pond of still water, full of any old kind of bug, they'll drink. It could be a mud puddle. and they'll drink, and then they're quickly diseased, especially a destruction of the liver by certain diseases. And they get this little bug that flies up their ears and flies in their ears and up their nose, and they will beat themselves to death on the fence post trying to get rid of that little bug. And so a shepherd's constantly watching. He's constantly dipping. He's constantly insecticiding for the benefit of the sheep so the sheep are not diseased. Now, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. I suppose he would do for you what he would do for a sheep. Isn't that the analogy? Isn't that the direction that we're going? That we would take care of a sheep, but you're on your own? Hang in there. Do the best you can. Easy come, easy go. Sometimes up, sometimes down, sometimes level with the ground. Does that sound right to you? Does that sound like a good shepherd? Doesn't sound like a good shepherd to me. Sheep are very strife-ridden. In the chicken business, we call it a pecking order. They call it a horning order in the cattle business and a butting order in the sheep business. And sheep have a head sheep, somebody who's taken over, a ewe that's dominating. And if she doesn't like where you're sitting, she'll butt you off that place. And they're very strife-ridden. And as long as there's strife in the pasture, nobody sits down because they don't know where the head dude is. And when she's coming to butt you off of the spot that you thought would be good for you, it doesn't matter if that was her spot or your spot. And as long as there's strife, as long as there's contention, they're a very jealous animal. They will not rest. They will not lie down. You see, the shepherd's responsibility is to provide for the sheep those things necessary for their supreme comfort, those things necessary for their growth, those things necessary so they can do the work of God. That would be you. And that's what God is doing when he says, I am, I am, I am, I am the good shepherd, not a poor shepherd. He said, across from him, the sheep were thin. They were diseased. They had no pasture, no salt licks. And nobody ever showed up in the cold to see that they were given proper shelter. Nobody ever showed up in bad weather. Nobody ever provided. And what God is saying through the psalmist and all the way into the Gospel of John is, I am. I am. I am. I am the good shepherd. Not a hireling, not one who's going to neglect you, not one who's going to turn his back when you're in distress. Gentle shepherd, come and lead us, for we need your help from day to day. Gentle shepherd, come and feed us, for we need thy strength along life's way. There's no other. Who can help us as we face life from day to day? Gentle shepherd, that's who he is. The good shepherd, the gentle shepherd. That's why he said, I will never leave you or forsake you. He is on the job. When you brush your hair in the morning, he adjusts his records of the number of hairs. We had a cat that was a great bird killer. She always put him up at the back door. She thought we'd be appreciative. She was doing her job. She thought we'd want to know that. We actually had a different concept of what her job was, but Scripture says God knows when every sparrow falls. Did you know every time she brought a bird to the back door, God would know that. He'd make record. Cumbie's cat's done it again. Why worry? Do you think I was gone from last week's lesson? When you could pray, trust Jesus. Why can you trust him? He's the good shepherd. So if there's hunger, if there's diseases, if there's strife, and if there's predators, they will not rest. But he's under my feet. He's under my feet. Do you believe that? Do you believe God has a solution? Do you believe he provided for you as his sheep? Do you believe he would do for you who have his life and nature what he would do for a four-footed beast? Do you believe he will superintend and supervise you in the same manner that he would an animal who has no spirit being and no eternal life? Well, if you're an animal lover, you know that. Wayne and I had dogs for a number of years. One lady got us in big trouble. She wanted my daughter to have a puppy. She lived out of state. She had a litter of puppies. I'm not so sure she wanted us to have a puppy or she wanted to get rid of her puppies. Anyway, she was going to fly the puppy to us and found out that you can't do that until they're so old, has a certain number of shots. So she sent me a large check and said, buy Susanna a dog. Well, That's how we got in trouble. For the next 30 years, we had dogs. It was all her fault. And we took very good care of them. And then when Suzanne moved out, she took the latest puppy with her when she got married. And then when her dogs got in trouble, because during a hurricane, her husband was working in Miami, we were in charge of the dogs. And we took as good a care of her dogs as we did of ours. And then one of her dogs got injured. We paid for the surgery that was required. You might as well have surgery on yourself, because surgery on your dog's not any cheaper. You figure that out? And it aggravates me when people buy a dog and they don't take care of it, and they don't give it the necessary heartworm pills that are necessary in Florida because of the mosquito. They don't take proper care, but we took care of ours. We took care of hers. I wonder if our heart is that big, how about God's heart? Who is your shepherd? Who is your shepherd? Who is he? Who is he? Shh. Gentle shepherd. Shh. Come and lead us, for we need thy help to face each day. Now let's tackle hunger, and let's go to 1 Peter 2:2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If so be you have tasted, the Lord is gracious. Do you believe the Lord is gracious? That means he's kind. He wants you to grow. He provides the milk of the word so you can grow. There's always a Godward part and a manward part to everything. It's not that God opens up your brain and pours the scripture into it. It says growth is by the milk of the word, so it is the word of God. You remember Jesus' words when he was tempted, man shall not live by bread alone? It means the physical man has to eat. You are spirit, soul, and body. The physical man has to eat. It's called in the scripture members or flesh. He has to eat. But the spiritual man, this man on the inside who steps out of the body the day you die and goes into place of eternal reward or damnation, that man has to eat as well. And he's fed on the word of God. Now, what happens if you don't feed this spiritual man? See, God provides food because he provides the Spirit of the living God to teach you all things and guide you into all truth. When you read and when you meditate, when you study, God provides the atmosphere and the Spirit so that he can expand his word, so he can explode his word in your inner man. And from the inner man, that word comes up to your mind, and your mind is renewed or restored. Now, you're a spirit being in a physical body. The word of God is spirit, and it goes into the human spirit where the Holy Spirit rests and resides. He comes and lives. The scripture says, if you have not spirit again, you're not God's. It means if you're born again, he's in there. He's in there. You're a new creature. The Holy Ghost is in there. And as you read and meditate, the Holy Spirit is there to teach you, to show you, and to bring to your mind and your will and your emotions God's holy word, so that your spirit man knows about God and your mind knows what God has said, so that they can come into agreement and overpower the flesh, which is always unruly. Have you noticed that? It says, in my flesh dwells no good thing. It was years before I could capture it. I kept reading that verse, and I thought, nothing? I mean, just nothing? No idea, no concept? God said nothing. No good thing. So all the good things come from God and come to the spirit of man. Now, when Jesus died, it said he died to bring you all things. If you need it, God's got it. The shepherd's not going to neglect you. He's not going to pass you by. He's not going to say, you know, I would give that to her, but not to you. Because God's not partial to any man. It says, call upon me and I'll answer you, unless, of course, your name begins through with J.K. or L. See, we make rules. We make some that God's never heard of. He says, what? I know, because I was raised in the throes of religion. The only thing that rule I never heard of, one man said they weren't allowed to drink Cokes on Sunday. I know why I never heard that rule, because we didn't ever have any Cokes. We were raised without Cokes. A Coke was where you went to the fountain, and that was quite a treat. I didn't know how poor we were until I shredded my daddy's financial records. I thought, oh, my. I mean, even 50 years ago, that was not much money. But the Lord is my shepherd. No want, I didn't know we had want. No want shall I. Children don't know because they depend upon mom and dad. They just know food comes and clothes come. I see now some sacrifices. They had to have made a great sacrifice because there wasn't any money for that. I went to Bible camp for 2 weeks. I don't know how Daddy paid for that. The first year I went on scholarship, and I was so happy. I wanted to go back, but there was no money to go back. Daddy never said he didn't have the money. I don't know where he got the money. It was quite expensive. I wanted to go, and he provided. And you're God's child, and he's got it. And if you need it and you request it and you stand for it, it's coming.
Yeah.
Oh, hallelujah, because he's a good shepherd. He's not one to see you hang. This shepherd said he would see the sheep across the field from him so poorly taken care of, leaning against the fence post and watching his sheep. He said he had the finest pastures in that section of the country, but he had so carefully studied husbandry, and he knew what grasses were necessary and what legumes could be planted, and he knew how to shift the sheep because they're very rutted. You would know that, right? He knew how to repasture them. When we were in Scotland, they were repasturing a one-lane road, leading the sheep and cattle down the center of the road. We just had to wait and wait and wait and wait. But the shepherd had deemed that that was a day to move them to another pasture. He did that not for his benefit, not to have them closer to the house or farther away from the house so he could get some exercise. He did that for the benefit of the cattle. He did that because they needed new pasture, because they needed to grow up, because he could see the old pasture need to be replanted. It needed some maintenance. And or to maintain that pasture and bring it up to the levels that would benefit the sheep, he moved them to another pasture. You know, and God is good. He knows when you're finished in the book of Job, when you're finished in the book of Matthew, when you've read enough in Acts or Philippians. He moves me from scripture to scripture and from word to word. And sometimes I'm stuck in one place for a long time because I'm following the gentle shepherd who sent his spirit on the inside to guide me in the word. And I know what I should be reading and where I should be reading. Sometimes I'm reading what's necessary to teach here or to teach in real life. But I have to have time with God for myself. What I do here for you is not sufficient for me. I have to have time with myself. I remember years and years and years ago, in fact, our children were in high school, they were in an automobile accident nearly killed. And for about 3 weeks, every time I'd sit down with the Lord, he'd say, no weapon formed against you will prosper. That scripture was so strong in my being, I couldn't get away from it. I didn't know God was preparing me for difficult days. Why doesn't God eliminate difficult days? I don't know. Why do sheep destroy the pasture and have to be moved? There are some difficulties. God doesn't cause difficulties, but he doesn't neglect you if you caused them. I see that over and over again. I said, it's not your fault, it's mine, isn't it? I knew it. I knew it was my fault. Oh, but he gives you that word from the Lord. Well, it wasn't my fault they had an accident. It wasn't God's fault. Sometimes an accident, you know what an accident is? It's just an accident. You can't blame that on God or the devil. Blame it on yourself. You weren't paying attention. You ever been there? That's about what happened. But God began to stir in his word. He began to pasture the sheep, began to see what word from the Lord the sheep were going to need, and that was Wayne and I. And I began to meditate that and read that. And if you elbowed me in the spirit, all I could think was no weapon formed against you will prosper. One precious lady was meditating Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. And that's the only scripture she had on her mind. See, God sends us. He sends us. It's a really big book, but you have the Spirit of God on the inside. And the shepherd, by his Spirit, sends you and plants you where you need to be. He roots you and grounds you where you need to be. Well, she went to the grocery store to get a few things. She'd been meditating that scripture for a long time. That's all she had on her mind was Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost power. And this really happened. And the clerk said, that'll be $10.38. She didn't mean to. Before she even thought, she said, that's how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power. Went about doing good. And the clerk said, pardon me? She said, never mind. Because the scripture that God had given, the place that she was supposed to eat, God has scripture for the hungry. Those that hunger and thirst, that's your part. And if I'm not hungry, if I'm not thirsty, I just go to God and say, revive me again. Fill my heart with thy love. May my soul be rekindled. Sometimes I might need my soul to be rekindled. I'm not stirred up. I'm not even unhappy not being stirred up. There happened to you. It happens to me just every now and then. I have to petition heaven. I have to make that effort and say, I exalt you. I exalt you, oh my king. I exalt you. I'm stirring myself up. Did you feel like singing? No. I don't let my body tell me what God needs me to do or what God needs me to be. I went to Africa for 4 weeks one time, 3 weeks one time. After I went the first time for 4 weeks, I knew I didn't want to go back for three. But God called and I went. Because I don't let my flesh tell me where I am with God. And if my flesh says, you don't need to read it, you don't need to sing it, you don't need to say it, I said, sit down, shut up, I'm in charge. Because the man on the inside, where God resides, the shepherd leads the sheep to green pastures. He says, eat here, eat here, eat here. And if I listen, if I pay attention, and I meditate, and the Spirit of truth, John 14, dwells on the inside, teach me all things, to teach me. And I'm dependent, and I know he's to teach me, and I know there's a lot I don't understand. And I read scriptures every single week. I think, I wish I understood that. I wish I had that clearer in my heart so I could project that clearly to you and to others. But I'm dependent, and I'm searching, and I'm asking, and I'm reading my Bible on days I think, my, I got to run the vacuum today. How long has it been? You know, I'm a no footprints in the in the carpet person. Oh, I just, but I'm getting better. I'm getting better in my old age. Because I don't have time. I don't have time to do for my carpet what needs to be done. I'm thinking, my, and are there dishes still in the sink, or do I put them in the dishwasher? Your clothes in the, those clothes are there in the washer and the dryer. I just can't remember. I'm thinking, oh, I've got so much to do. And I got two lessons to do. Did I read my material yet? I did read it. What was it? Can't even think of what it was. You know, and I'm just, you're just stirred. And you're like a bee at a beehive going, and no place to land, no place to light. But gentle shepherd, come and lead us, for we need thy help from day to day. Gentle shepherd, come and feed us. Oh, when he leads and when he feeds, and we pay attention and say, this is the good shepherd. This is not a shepherd who doesn't care for you, who's trying to feed you, who's trying to lead you, who's trying to lead you astray. This is the shepherd who cares. This is the one who is the good shepherd, the best shepherd. You will not get any better attention than you get from Almighty God himself. And he's watching. Now let's go to 1 Peter 5, where we were last week. Oh, I'm so glad for the leadership of God. I'm so glad he leads us as we teach and as we study. We read these verses last week. Humble yourselves, verse 6. Humble yourself under. Place yourself underneath the care of the shepherd. That's what that verse says. Humble yourself. Humility is not when you lower yourself. It's not being a worm crawling across the ground that somebody can step on. Humility is when I've deliberately chosen to place somewhat body, which is God himself and his word and his spirit, over my head. I've chosen to be second place to somebody who should be in first place. Humility is your choice. She said Jesus humbled himself and obeyed. And humility is when I humble myself under the hand of God. You cannot be in any better position than under the hand of God. You can lead or he can lead. That's what that says. Humility says, no, you do it. I'm going to be underneath your leadership, underneath your direction. I'm going to do what you say. You lead and I'll follow. Follow, follow. I will follow Jesus anywhere, everywhere. I will follow on. Follow, follow. I will follow Jesus. Anywhere he leads me, I will follow, follow on. These are strange days for me because when I go to study, I'm not sure what we should do. I just have to trust God that when I step into the Spirit, he's here to guide our words and to bring us through. And I've seen that the last 2 or 3 or 4 weeks. I about drowned him in real life. I talk so fast. Once I've never heard you talk so fast. But it's the gentle shepherd who begins to stir, who begins to lead. Who begins to say this, read this, stand here. Oh, what a mighty, mighty Father. Do you know it's not that he just does that for me and you're just on your own. He does that for every single one who will go before his throne and say, lead me by your Spirit. I'm going to follow. I'm going to humble myself. I'm placing myself under your leadership. That's what it means when you say, Jesus is Lord. So I know you're the good shepherd. I know you have green pastures. I know you have still waters. I'm hungry and thirsty. Paul, who knew more than any man alive, probably said, that I might know you. If Paul didn't think he had arrived, that he knew all he needed to know, I know where that leaves the rest of us. And we've been to cry out of our heart that I might know you. That says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. A lot of translations say, for he's concerned about you. But it's so much more than our concept of concern. I may be concerned about you and totally, completely helpless to solve your problem. I may say, I hope things work out for you. And then I don't know what else to do. But when God says he's concerned, means he's taking care of it. He has a solution. If you lean on him, you depend on him, you say, Shepherd, what should I do? Where should I be? What should I say? Where should I go? Lead me, Lord. Lead me in thy righteousness. Shh. It's like the caretaker. If you have a caretaker of a cemetery, you don't want him just to go through the cemetery and say, yeah, this stone needs just standing up. These flowers need to be taken away. You want him to do something, not to care, not to be concerned. A caretaker is supposed to be active. He's supposed to be doing something. You don't hire a caretaker for your yard just to make a report and say, yeah, you got weeds in the flower beds. Your shrubbery is too tall and your grass needs mowing. You want a report or you want some work? Do you hire him to give a report? God's not just giving a report. He's working in the heart of all those. He works mightily in the heart of all those who will lean on him and depend on him. He's working. He's working. And I'm so glad he's working. And I'm listening. I'm listening for his direction. Listening for his hand extended. Where's the pastor? Is the good shepherd on duty? Who is your shepherd? Who is he? Jesus himself. He said, I'll give my life for the sheep. And he gave his life one time on Calvary. And day after day, he's forever interceding. Forever interceding. Never lets you go. Never strays from your need. He's forever interceding. Forever. If you've ever interceded for an hour or 2 hours, forever is a long time. Just so he's on duty when you need him. So he irons out in the spirit your problems so he can send the angels or whatever help that you need sometimes in the face of a person. God is attending to you. He says, I know when you stand. I know when you sit. I know what you're thinking. I saw you in your mother's room. I count every hair on your head. I know when every sparrow falls, even in your yard, Becky. I am watching, and I'm not only watching, I am working. God works. He works mightily. He works mightily. He doesn't want me to be hungry. He says, if you hunger and thirst, you'll be filled. So God's working all the time to fill me, to provide an atmosphere where I can be full. Now, we go to Wayne's mother's for Thanksgiving. Those days are gone because she's in heaven. Wayne has a very large family. A lot of years, we look like a daycare center. We do. And when you eat and eat and eat and eat and eat and eat and eat, I'm telling you, you've never seen, because farm families eat and they have a lot of food. Everything comes out of the freezer. You know how that works. And we have lots of food. And Wayne's little mother, when you leave, you couldn't eat one French fry. We never had French fries, by the way. Farm families don't eat French fries. You couldn't eat one more green bean, not even one. I mean, you were just, I mean, it's over. You know what I'm telling you? And she always stands at the door and says, now I'm putting it all on the table for supper. You're thinking, oh. I told Wayne, Don't even respond to her. Don't you tell your mother I'm coming back for supper. You know, when you eat the word of God, I get that same sensation. I read sometimes, and my heart, my spirit, man, begins to swell. And so I can't read anymore. I've read all I can read. God is working. He's working. That very passage I was reading, when I was reading about the shepherd, I was reading along about chapter 2, chapter 3. I haven't read very far in the book. It's a good thing, because I read very far in the book. You'd have to stay all week. The book I read before, but it's one I just, after all these decades, it makes more sense than it used to, you know. And my heart begins to swell. My spirit begins to swell. And the food of the spirit, the food of the word of God begins to fill and to inundate. And I think, oh, I'm finished. I can't read anything else. I just, oh my, how sufficient that was. When sheep lie down, they say, I've had enough. I've had enough. And the reason they have enough is because the shepherd set the table in the presence of the enemies, and they came and they ate. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. That's point one. Raise your hand. He's a good shepherd. Say, feed me, Lord. Feed me in green pastures by still waters. Thank you, Father. Oh, thank you, blessed Master. Thank you, blessed Master. Now let me tell you a story. This particular shepherd had a sheep that was always going astray. His pasture bordered the ocean. It was fenced in, but somehow she always found a way through the pasture, round the fence, by the ocean side. Well, what she did was then every lamb she had, she taught them how to escape. And then other sheep, because sheep are great followers, noticed that the mother and the lambs were escaping, and they decided to escape. And so it became such a big deal. Every day, going down and see who's out of the pasture, gathering them back up, closing up the hole, only to know that tomorrow she's going to find another way out. Well, I won't tell you because you don't want to know what happened to her. What I want to tell you is don't leave the pasture. Don't leave the pasture. Don't leave the pasture. Don't. You know what the word don't means? It's in the some dictionaries, newer dictionaries. It means something that is forbidden. And if I could forbid you, I would. But you have to follow your heart. You have to do what God tells you to do. But stay in the pasture till your heart is so full of God, so full of His Word, till your body vibrates. Sometimes my body just shakes and vibrates because, you know, I know it when it says, God says, I will walk in you. Sometimes He takes such a walk on the inside, my body begins to say, whew, oh my, don't leave the pasture. Don't go around the fence. Don't go oceanside. Stay where God leads you. Stay where God leads you. Stay where God leads you. Read what God sends you. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father.